Kids, we are going to have some fun today. 40 days is coming, so we're doing this countdown to the 40 days. Last week, just talked about do not waste your life. If you missed that, please, it's on archived. It's in podcast. Go and find that. You can find that through the Church Center app. That's another great thing you can use it for. I want to remind you of what we already heard. You can mark it down on your calendars that every Monday is going to be set aside a time when you can come here to the city campus to pray. Of course, you can pray anywhere you are, but be praying that God would do something amazing, something that only He could get credit for in your life during the 40 days. A very special day tomorrow, a church-wide call to fasting and praying. If you can do that, please join us, and then you can break that fast if you'd like to. At 6 o'clock here at City Campus together. It's going to be an awesome time. I'll also mention this. We have multiple. I think there's 21, 22, to, I forget what the number is. We've got 22 connecting points through homes or businesses or wherever the hosts have decided to set up to connect together with God's Word and one another. Those are called S'mores are going to be at our... The Smurfs are going to... No, that's not it either. It's going to be small groups for 40 days, 40 days of prayer, small groups. If you'd like more information, you can go to the table, you can reach out online, and we will get you that information. There's still places to connect. I hope you'll take advantage of that. Today, I want you to use your imagination. So I've given you a couple of ways to do that. You need to imagine what's going to happen at the end of this message because many of you have never seen anything like this before. It is going to be simple and profound. There will be 12 people giving a testimony. You go, this is going to be one really long service if 12 people are testifying. Well, just don't you dare leave before this service is over. That's what I got to tell you. Because that's going to be, you're like, what does that mean? How can I stretch my imagination? Do you realize Napoleon once said about imagination, he said, imagination rules the world. I don't know how spiritual of a man Napoleon was, but I think he was onto something. Albert Einstein, you ever heard of him? Einstein said, imagination is actually more important than knowledge. It's also interesting if you have a worldview that says that there is a God and He has reached out to us in the person of Jesus Christ, that He has expressed Himself. I would say God's given us a ton of gifts, but among the best is the ability to imagine. According to what we can understand, plants and rocks and other animals do not have this ability. Wow. So we get to use it. I wonder what that is. I think it's a reflection of the God who actually created us, because He's extremely creative. But if you stop and think about it, when it comes down to imagination, and some of you who are Christ followers are going, I don't think we're supposed to talk about imagination. That seems like we're outside the lines. No, God gave you the ability to imagine a better future. If He hadn't wanted you to be able to do that, He wouldn't have given you the ability. Does it get misused sometimes? Absolutely. But if you stop and think about it, every accomplishment, and I would go on the positive side, every great accomplishment actually began in someone's imagination. It's like, what if we built this bridge to get from this side of the river to the other? And you look around and you go, what's a bridge? But somebody had to start the idea. Everything that has been accomplished by human beings was a thought before it became a reality. That's how powerful it is. It had to be a dream before it got done. I want you to use your imagination not just in creating things, because it's great if you're a creator, if you're an inventor and you're doing great things that might make human life better, then keep on doing that thing. But I want you to use your imagination. What if all the experiences that you've been through, be they good, bad, or ugly, what if you were to turn all of those over to God and say, God, stretch my imagination and show me how this plays into something I never anticipated. I was talking with one of my dear friends before. 40 years he spent running from God. Didn't have a clue about some things. And it was dark in his life. He couldn't have even imagined where he is today. But whenever he said yes to God, he said, God, I'm not the one in control. I'm not in the driver's seat. You are. It has opened up to him to take all of that, those painful things and the things that he probably would have rather not talked about. And now he's talking about them because God stretched his imagination and he's influencing the next generation instead of in recovery. He believes in pre-covery. And I'm just telling you, sometimes the things you don't want to talk about is the very thing that God wants you to stretch your imagination and say, I could use that. Some of you have already given up on life. In fact, if you drag yourself either into this online venue or into this place right here and you thought today is my only hope, well, I'm just telling you, Jesus is your only hope. And he brought you here for a divine purpose today to stretch your imagination. Amen. You are a reflection of the God who created you. You are a reflection of who he is and what he is like. You have the fingerprints of God all over your life, and your creator has given you creative power. But you've got to bring it under his control and see what's going to happen. In regards to the 40 days, some of you are like, this seems so weird. I don't like going to other people's houses. Use your imagination. What if that stepping out in faith and letting God stretch your imagination is that you learn something more about God's word, and you also understood that it's not so much about the prayer as to who we're praying to and the relationship we have with him, that it bursts open, that it busts through walls that you've had in your life, and you make not only friends, you make people who are forever family. You incorporate them into your life. What if you're better together than you have been just trying to do this whole Lone Ranger kind of thing? I believe that we ought to imagine a preferred future. But the problem is we have a ton of mental blocks. You and I tend to be our own worst critics. We will talk our things out of great things. Or we will say, you know what, I'm not feeling it. Folks, emotions are great in their appropriate place, but don't let them drive the bus. Because I would tell you, I'm a very emotional person. I feel deeply about most everything. I can feel really deeply and good about something in the morning, and I will be down, doobie-doo, down by the time we're done. So I'm just saying, don't go with your emotional, but that's I'm just saying that's an emotional barrier. So we'll settle in, we'll settle for, we'll stop dreaming, and in doing so, we're not using the imagination that God gave us, and it tends to shrink. So you stop expecting, and then you stop trusting, and then you stop growing. And then we say crazy stuff like this. I've actually heard people say this. Don't say this stuff to a preacher. All it's like saying sick 'em to a dog. Anyway, people say crazy stuff like, how in the world could God ever use me? Oh, sit down. I got a whole series on that. Not just one message. I got 10. Because if you don't hear anything else, because some of you are already drifting off, see you after your nap, but remember this while you're dreaming. God truly wants to use you. Please get past the fact that if you stand in front of a bunch of lights or you strap a microphone to your head, that it makes you more spiritual or more valuable to God. That is trash. The world has been changed by the power of Jesus Christ through ordinary people going about their ordinary lives who simply surrender to an extraordinary God. But you have to choose to put yourself in the blessable place. That's why I'm after you so often. I love you so much, but some of you still treat Rock Springs as though it's an event. Folks, we gather on the weekends. That's great. And boy, do we sing pretty good when we're all together. This is not where it's at. Where it's at is whenever we engage with truth and we partner with other Christ followers and we make a difference, be it on the back of a four-wheeler, teaching a class, growing some crops, saving people's lives. I don't care what it is. Will you do it and do it for the glory of God and let God stretch your imagination of how he wants to use it? 40 days kicks off next Sunday. I'm begging you, please don't miss it. Get into a group. put those events we've told you about on your calendar. I'm just saying, it's an opportunity to get clear on God's plan for your life. Look at here. Paul wrote this to his friends in Corinth. He said, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." That doesn't really take a lot of theology to try and unpack what he just said there. He said, you haven't seen it, you haven't heard it, and you have yet to imagine what God has prepared for people who love Him. Do not limit God. God's dream for your life literally is mind-boggling. If you were to give God control of your life, like I talked about last week, He wants your whole life. You got to be disciplined, and you do it because of the cross. But if you were to choose to give God your entire life willingly and completely and irrevocably, you're not going to take it back. You're giving it to Him. You have no idea what God could do with your life. In fact, if you pray that kind of prayer, put on your running shoes, because He will make you run. Paul said to this in a letter to his friends in Ephesus. He said, with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything. Than anything we could ask or imagine. Again, doesn't take a lot of theology to try and figure out what he just said. It was written over about 2,000 years ago. It's still true today. It proves itself true that God's been telling us the truth all this time, because it's happening in little ragged bands of believers all over the world, including this one. That God's power working in us can do much, much more than anything we could dare ask or imagine. So let God stretch your imagination. Let Him use you in ways you never thought possible. Let this message help you blow past all the, well, if only I had that, if only I didn't have that, if only, or the someday I'll. You know, that's the only cruise some people ever take. I'm just cruising away to someday I'll. Someday I'll get to that. There's going to be testimonies of 12 different people at the end of this message, and I'm just giving you the lowdown, especially the people in the room. There will be a little bit of scurrying near the end of this message. You keep your focus and your thoughts and your vision on me. Don't let them sway you. They're getting into place for their testimonies. So you don't want to miss this. I'm telling you, do not cut out before the service is over. But let the testimonies that you will hear and experience later push you to think, instead of if only or someday I'll, let it push you to, well, what if God wanted that? May God give you a renewed vision for your life and a renewed vision for our church. I want us to see from God's word what stretching our imagination looks like in the real world. Because we're going to look at a guy by the name of Joshua. Everybody say Joshua with me. Joshua. Or, you know, if you know him well, we just call him Josh. Okay, good. In the story of Joshua, there's at least four key elements. If you really, truly want to be used by God, you want Him to stretch your imagination and take you places you never dreamed you could go. First thing I think we can say is that Joshua shows us that I must let go of doubt. If God's going to use me, I'm going to have my faith stretched where God wants me to be. I got to let go of my doubt. How many of you are professional doubters? Yeah, come on, put up both hands, everybody in the room. I'm just telling you, everybody does it. Doubt about what God has in store for you or what He's equipped you to do, doubt limits your potential. If He says you could do it, but you still say, I doubt that I could happen, you still got the potential that God's put into your life, but you have actually limited your own potential. Doubt, and Lord knows I've done this, doubt creates procrastination. Well, not yet. I'll do it later. Doubt causes you to miss out on God's best for your life, because doubt is a great, great enemy to God's dream in your life. Because you're saying that your thoughts, your feelings, and all that surrounds that idea, your perspective is greater than the God who made you. That's not really very bright. And yet we all do it. That's why we say, you say, I say, I doubt that God could use me in a great way. Right, brother? Then, this is what we do, because work with me here. If you start saying that kind of thing and you start thinking that kind of thing, you say, I doubt that God could use me in a great way. And then we determine and develop excuses to justify what we just said. Well, that's crazy. You're not looking at the evidence. You're creating the evidence as you go. You start coming up with all kinds of excuses to validate your own doubt. The brother of Jesus, James, wrote this, and boy, was he cut to the quick. He did not mince words. Here's what he said. Anyone who doubts is like a wave on the sea, blown up and down by the wind. And this is where he gets real pointed. It's like poking you in the chest. He's like, they should not think that they will receive anything from the Lord. Well, wow. It's like, that's not pleasant preaching, is it now? That's why we got to wrestle with this. That's why I want you to be ready for the 40 days. That's why I want you to live a life that is surrendered to God. Because you have got to get this one down to the ground. You've got to dump the doubt that you have in God. You need to dump the doubt that God could use you in great ways. Let it go. Drop it. And you'll have to drop it over and over again. That's one thing I will say about this message. This is not a 1, 2, 3, 4, do this today and by Friday your whole life will always be perfect and flawless in every way. No, you will have to practice this again and again and again. Joshua had a doubt problem. But let's just look at his story, because in the Old Testament, which, by the way, if you're not familiar with the Bible, it's actually not a book, it's a library, has 66 ancient documents in it that have proven over time that there's this cohesive message that's been written over about a 1,300-year span by about 40 different authors on 3 different continents, and yet it's got one message. That's crazy stuff. And the stuff that came before Jesus, we call it the Old Testament. Way back in one of those documents, cleverly named Joshua, is the story of Joshua. How about that? This guy, he did not feel confident for a lot of different reasons. And maybe you got your reasons, he's got his reasons. He was the successor leader to Moses. Okay, even if you don't believe the Bible and all that stuff, you know, go down that road, most leaders around the world consider Moses to be the greatest, or if not the greatest, one of the greatest leaders that the world has ever seen. Okay, now, if he's that, and Moses is saying, okay, here's the baton, Joshua, you take the baton and run with it. I'm just telling you, as one leader to a bunch of other leaders, I'm saying that's a little intimidating. No, that's a lot intimidating. It is. Deuteronomy lists that he may have been one of the greatest men who ever lived. Jesus even said something along those lines. It is a tough act to follow when Moses is the leader and now all of a sudden you get to be the leader. I'd be full of self-doubt, just telling you straight up. Another reason that I think Joshua probably didn't feel real confident is that he just look at the size of the assignment that he was given. Because Moses has been leading these children of Israel who used to be slaves and now they're somehow becoming a nation and God's given them these laws to keep them safe. But God says to Joshua, he says, Moses is dead. I used him, it was great. But now you're up to bat. It's your turn at bat. Now here's your mission, should you choose to accept it. You're going to be the guy who takes all this ragtag band. You're going to actually take them into the promised land. And the reason it's called the promised land is because God had promised it. There you go. See, learn. Come to church, learn stuff. It's an amazing thing. You're going to be the guy who takes them into the promised land. And yes, God says, I know they're not a bunch of seasoned fighters. They are not a bunch of warriors. Yes, and I know you've already scouted out the place, and over there in the promised land, there are actually 7 tribal nations that are already resident in that place. And yes, I know all of them are skilled warriors, even though you are not. To which I'm writing all this down as Joshua. I'm going, this is, no. I mean, this is what you want to say? No. But God says, look at me, Joshua. I want you to lead these people, and I want you to go in, and I want you to take it over. Okay. So much doubt, so much fear, so much lack of self-confidence. Because God is asking him and tasking him with something he has absolutely never done before. And he's taking him someplace where he has never been before. So they're camped along the Jordan River. You can go and do all your own research. They're on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They're about to go into what we now know as the nation of Israel. They're headed west, young men. And that night, God speaks to Joshua because he can't sleep very well. And God says, Joshua, I need to give you a pep talk. And four times in that pep talk, God speaks to Joshua and says, Josh, I'm going to use you. Josh, I'm going to use you, but you got to let go of doubt. I'm going to use you, but stop doubting. I'm going to use you. Trust me. I'm going to use you, but you need to let go of your doubt. Joshua 1, verse 9. God says, be bold and strong. Banish fear and doubt. For remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Banish means to get rid of, kick it out, eliminate it, put it out of sight, dump it. If you and I are going to allow God to use us, if you're going to let God use you, the first thing you've got to do is dump your doubt. And you say to me, because we're talking in this conversation, you're going, yeah, Pastor, I get it, but that's hard to do. To which I would be honoring and say to you, no, it's not. It's not any more difficult than anything else. It's just we've been doing it wrong. Because doubt is a choice just like any other attitude. It is an attitude choice. What choice are you making? I'm trying to do this in each of my decisions and everything I go through. I want you to try it with me. I think we should get into the habit of believing our beliefs and doubting our doubts. But we've been doing it wrong up to this point because most of us, when we doubt God or our abilities, there are other people that we're trying to partner with, we are choosing doubt. And most of us, we choose to believe our doubts and then we doubt our beliefs. Anybody with me? Come on. Next time you hear yourself say, God could not use me, try this. You know, I have that doubt, but I'm going to doubt that doubt. Just say it with me. I'm going to doubt that doubt. Come on. I'm going to doubt that doubt, and I'm going to believe my beliefs. I'm going to believe my beliefs. And if God says, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to use you, and I want to work in your life, I am going to choose to believe him, no matter what I thought. Stop inflicting. You know what? Most doubt is self-inflicted, so stop it. Stop. Here's what I find we do. Listen to me. We compare ourselves or our abilities to someone else. Stop it. It's not fair to compare. It doesn't make any sense. Instead of looking up at God, we look around at other people and they go, well, they got more talent. They got more abilities. They got more education. They got more experience. They got better looks. They got better background. Blah, 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 blah. 1 Corinthians addresses that, by the way. 1 Corinthians 10, it says it's dumb to compare yourself to other people. That's actually in the Bible. But you're thinking, yeah, but I'm just ordinary. Okay. You know what's amazing? Is that God has actually used weak people to change the world. That God has used people with a slew of problems to change the world. Do you know he's used people who actually have mixed motivations to actually change the world? You keep trying to squirm out of this. I will not let you. Don't compare yourself. Surrender yourself. Let God stretch your imagination. Let him use you. Here's another one. Stop. This is self-inflicted. Stop recalling and going over like a rotisserie grill of your mind. Stop remembering your failures. It is really, really hard to look forward and say, God, please stretch my imagination of the preferred future that you want for me if I'm stuck in my past. Some of you, I know you so well, and I hear what you say. You remember, you know, you bring it up in some sort of conversation. You remember that stupid thing I did in 1996? What? Don't say those words. That brings up a song I don't like. Release it. time to move on in your story. God does not want you focusing on your past, mistakes, and failures. Because if you do, what you'll start believing is, God can't use me now. I'd just like to know, how many of you use the Bible app? How many of you actually have a printed version of this thing? And how many of you use it for more than just like a coffee table centerpiece? Okay. Yep. Okay. If you read the Bible real good, did you notice that most of the people that God has used to do great things have a very checkered past? Shady, shady people. Moses murdered a guy before he became one of the world's greatest leaders in a fit of fury. Jacob stole his whole family inheritance from his brother. David, King David, what an admirable guy. Really? He was an adulterer, and then he arranged for his hookup's husband, he arranged for him to be killed. These are man of the year candidate right there. Abraham gave his wife away not one time, two times. Save my life, take my wife. Duly noted, don't use that again. Right? Okay. Paul was a religious terrorist. Peter was a cussin', fussin', short-tempered commercial fisherman who every time he spoke, he put his mouth in gear before his brain was engaged. And yet God said, you know what? I think I'll use that guy. I think I'll use that girl. God uses broken people who surrender to him because God basically says, I really don't care where you've been. What I'm really concerned about is what direction are you headed right now? Let God stretch your imagination. Even use your body as a praying reminder of how God wants you to live your life. Be focused forward because your eyes are on the front of your head, not the back. Look forward. Your ears, and I know this is a perfect example right here. Your ears are placed on your head so that they face forward. You need to be listening for His call, not the people's opinions of you around you. Your arms reach forward easier than they reach back. So reach out and help someone around you, in front of you. Your feet are actually attached to your leg in a forward motion. So keep walking forward in faith and stop walking backward in fear. Now, to complete this thought, I am going to quote the great theologian, Pumbaa. Put your behind in the past. Some of you will think that's funny. Some of you will think, he said that at church? Yes, he did. Dump your doubts. Give your guilt to God. Move on. God says, I don't care what your past is. I want to use you. Second thing, look for a promise. You need to let go of your doubts. You got to look for a promise. In these writings, these 66 writings are a whole variety of things. History, poetry, prophecy, letters, eyewitness accounts. It's an amazing thing. But in those writings, God has made scores and scores of promises. Scores and scores of promises, ton of them. And this word promise is used 13 times in Joshua's account of what happened to him. The promise, God's promises were key. God's promises are key to you. God's promises were key to Joshua's success. In fact, the summary of Joshua's life, if you read his account, is that God said, capture the promised land. In fact, God promised him that it would happen to him, that he would lead it. And just before he was about to get into the leadership and go into that promised land, God reminded him of that promise in Joshua 1:3. God says, I promised Moses that I would give you this land, so I will. I will give you every place you go in this land. Now, if God makes a promise, and we sang about it earlier, if God makes a promise to you, he keeps it. He never makes a promise he won't keep. If he says he's going to use you, he's going to use you. If he says he's going to bless you, he's going to bless you. If he says he's going to protect you, he will protect you because God is faithful. And besides that, God cannot lie. Then, I'm just telling you, this whole account that Joshua lays out there, when he is an old man And he looks back over what God has done in his life. And he looks at the victories, because if you look at what Joshua was called to do, he was called, the minute you cross that Jordan River, you will be fighting battles your entire life. It will not let up. There will not be vacation time. But he looks back over his life and his victory in Joshua 23. Joshua says, now, he's talking to the people that are coming behind him. He says, now my time has come, and every one of you knows. Every one of you knows that God has given you all the good things that he promised. And every promise he has made, he has kept. And not one of them has failed. Listen, friends, I don't like playing church. I believe we ought to take this seriously. And if it's not, if we're not allowing these truths to change us, then what's the point? If you're going to grow in faith, you're going to have to build your life on the promises of God. If you want to be used by God, you've got to get into this book, either electronically or in the manual version. You've got to get into it because it contains God's direction for our life. There are scores and scores of promises from God, and they are literally laying there waiting for you to understand, to embrace, to stand on, and trust God in. There's one of them. We put it at the top of the notes, Ephesians 3:20. With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. Either that's true or it's not. That would be a great place to start memorizing God's promises, so that when the doubts creep in, and they will, when the discouragement keeps coming at you, when the depression starts to pull you down, that is already in your heart and it is in your mind, so that God has the access to bring it back from your memory and apply it in your life. Because I'm just saying, from the things I've been through in my life, when you are literally laying on your back, spiritually knocked down, you do not have the wherewithal nor the time to pull out your handy pocket New Testament and go, there's got to be a promise in here somewhere. You need to know it before it happens. Because if you say to God, as sincerely and authentically as you can, God, I want you to use me for your purposes, then what's he going to say? Well, let's do a real quick message right here. Three things that he promises to Joshua, and it applies to us. In verse 5 of Joshua, I think that's chapter 1, he says, no one will be able to stand against you. That's one of the promises. God promises his strength. He gives strength to the weary. No one will be able to stand against you. He promises you strength. In other words, what God asks you to do, he will give you the power to do. Where God guides, God provides. Verse 7, he says, you will be successful. That one would be success. He promises success. Like, ooh, goody. I'm going to be a millionaire. God wants you to succeed in serving him. He doesn't say, I will give you success at whatever you dream up that you think is cool, and how big of a truck or how big of a ranch or how whatever. He may bless you with those things, but they are for his glory, not yours. But he says, I want you to succeed. That's an easy word to say. Should be. Okay. He wants you to succeed in serving him. You can count on it. God is not promising success at your plan. He guarantees success at what he put you on earth to be and to do. And if you are not succeeding in that, it's time to trade up and change course. Because if you get in on what God plans for you to do, you will succeed. Verse 9, he says, I will be with you everywhere you go. Write down the word, God promises support. He not only promises strength and success, he promises his support. God is always close. We already talked about that all summer long. God is good. He is always consistent. I have heard preachers say this all my life. God's word done God's way won't lack God's support. God's word done God's way will not lack God's support. So pick up on God's promises every chance you get. Discover them, deploy them, depend on them. Joshua 1:6 says, always remember what is written in this book. Remember what is written in this book. Study it day and night to be sure to obey everything that is written there. And if you do this, you will be wise and successful in everything. I just want to know, is anybody honest enough to say, I do want to be a wise guy and I want to actually be successful in what I do? Yes? Okay. That's something God put inside of you. He said, I will do that for you. He's telling you how to do it right here, because your success is never based on your ability. God says it's based on your commitment to his word. So remember the word, study the word, obey the word. That's what it said right there. You can get a daily dose of this, of God's word, during the 40 days of prayer because there's this sweet... In fact, I think you should have this surgically attached to your hand for 40 days. There's all kinds of stuff in here. Daily stuff. Stuff for your small group time. You can even take notes whenever you're listening to me speak on the weekends. It's going to be on Instagram, Rock Springs Instagram. It's going to be on Rock Springs Facebook. It's going to be everywhere. There will be worship times that are dedicated to us looking at the promises of God and standing on them. You know what? Military leaders of our time say that Joshua was the greatest military leader ever. And like I told you, even in Joshua's case, it was just one battle after another his whole life. But the key is, because he depended on God, he never gave up. So if you're feeling like giving up, you know what the secret to his success was? I think what he would tell you, what you should do to fight your string of battles is, let God stretch your imagination. Let go of the doubt. Look for the promise. And number three, lean on the Lord. Keep leaning on the Lord. Lean on Him. Lean on God. Lean on Him all the time. Dump the doubt. Pin down a promise and lean on the Lord. Leaning, for instance, if I lean onto this and put all my weight on it, I'm really hoping all that bamboo or whatever really holds me up. But I'm just saying, leaning is more than just believing. When you lean onto something, you are literally trusting your entire weight that it's going to hold you up. When you lean on God, it means more than just, I believe in God. I get a warm, fuzzy feeling when I go to church. No, what I'm talking about is lean on God because you're trusting Him to hold you up. Joshua 1:5, God says, no one will be able to defeat you all your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forget you. That is a promise that still stands today because you, just like Joshua, with God at the center and the foundation of your life, you are undefeatable. Your past is forgiven. You have a purpose for living. You have a home in heaven. Win, win, win. They cannot defeat you. Joshua was victorious in every battle as long as he leaned on God. Four times in this passage he said, be confident, don't doubt, be strong, be determined. Because God says, I'm never going to leave you, you can lean on me. Oh, this is another preacher statement. You lose your fear when God is near. Come on, everybody say it with me. You lose your fear when God is near. So the question is, you got to examine your own heart. Who or what are you leaning on for your strength? You lean on somebody else's strength? They may be sweet people. They may love Jesus, but they will wear out because they're just as human as you are. Some of you are leaning on the approval of others. Some of you are leaning on yourself. We'll just leave that one right there. Let's just say you do not have the horsepower. You do not have the octane to hold yourself up. If you would have, you could have, but you can't, so you don't. And neither does anybody else around you because they're all human. Humans get tired. We wear out. We drop the ball. Heck, some of y'all have made some promises to yourself and you don't even keep your own promises to yourself. Do not depend on yourself or other people for your strength. Do this instead. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. But I'm just telling you, because I've done this a time or two, leaning on God is just straight up scary. That would be a good place to say amen, y'all. Because if y'all have figured it out where it's not scary, y'all come and tell me, because I haven't figured that one out. Leaning on God is often very scary, and it is often very comfortable. Because you're in the midst of it, and you go, is He going to actually come through this time? Is He going to hold me up this time? It's only when you lean on Him, though, that you actually discover that He will hold you up. That's the only way you can figure it out. All right. Fourth thing you learn from Joshua is at some point you have to launch out in faith. And like I said, you keep doing these things over and over again. There is a point at which you stop talking and thinking, and believe it or not, we're going into the 40 days of prayer. There's actually a point at which you stop praying and you actually get up off of your blessed assurance and you just go do what God's asked you to do. You say, do you have biblical background for that? When Moses was leading all those ornery people, He prayed a lot. And one time he was praying and praying and praying and praying, and God said, Moses, stop praying and go and lead my people. You've got to launch out in spite of what you feel. You've got to launch out in the face of your fears. You've got to launch out over your doubts. Joshua 1:10, then Joshua issued instructions to the leaders to tell the people to get ready. That's what I'm doing to y'all. Get ready to cross the Jordan. Get ready to cross the Jordan River. Boy, I am feeling this today. I am also a musician. There have been songs that have been sung throughout my whole life, and they usually get sung at a funeral, that we're about to cross over Jordan. Yeah. Folks, that is the misapplication of God's word. Dying is not the same thing as crossing over Jordan. Just, you heard it here, you can bank on it. What God did with the people of Israel is he did what only he could do, and he opened up the Red Sea so that they would have salvation. But he opened up the Jordan River in a totally different way in order that they could be obedient. Crossing over Jordan is not death. Crossing over Jordan is obedience. Yeah, it got a little quiet there, a little bit. We are talking about real people, and some people say that there were between 600,000 and 1,000,000 people. And Joshua is leading them. And it is the moment of truth. It is time to take the plunge, literally. Because once they cross over the Jordan River, it is going to be a battleground. And it will stay that way for quite some time. And by all accounts, I've not been there, but I have friends who have been there. They tell me that the Jordan River, even to this day, is not terribly huge. Whenever it's at a normal stage, about 100 feet wide or so, and 20 feet or so deep. But it is a transformative river that whenever the spring snows and rains come and it gets into flood season, it turns into a giant and it turns into something very dangerous, and it is rushing and it overflows its banks. So how like God to say to Joshua, it is time to be obedient at the time that most people would say, no, let's wait for the waters to go down. He says, nope, it's at flood stage. Let's make this happen. The logical question that you would ask, they ask, how are we going to get across? Because we don't have any bridges, we don't have any pontoons, and there are no helicopters available for us today. I got two words for you. But God. God says, watch me do a miracle, but you have to do what I ask you to do. You remember the 40 years ago that the Red Sea, I parted those waters. And you walk through on dry land. And what I'm about to do today is going to be a lot like that. It's going to be the same thing, only different. It's going to be a miracle. On that day, I parted the waters. You walked through on dry land. Today, I want you to start walking into the water. Go. Go. Because when you start walking, I'm going to do something you can't even see. And I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And he basically does say straight up, I'm wanting you to do this because this is a test. So the leaders, the spiritual leaders, get out in front and they start walking into the water. And they're ankle deep. And they're calf deep. And they're knee deep. And they just keep on walking. What they didn't know is that while they were walking, God dammed up the river 17 miles north of their situation as they started walking. And as they kept walking, obviously the water had stopped, but they kept walking into the deeper water, but the water kept getting shallower. And by God's power, they crossed over to what God had promised. So I got to ask you, what's your Jordan River? What's keeping you from being obedient? What's keeping you from being stretched in your imagination that God could use you? What is God trying to get through to you that he wants to use you to bless other people? The first step will always be the most difficult. So what do you do when you know something is God's will, but you are scared to death to do it? You do it anyway. You do it anyway, and you move against your fear. And that, I'm just telling you, that's where you pray for courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving ahead in spite of the fear because God said you should, and He can be trusted. Ecclesiastes says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. So put some feet to your faith, and then the courage will come. Now some of you, because I know you, some of you go, listen, I'm past my prime. I'm getting a little too old for this launching out stuff. Go home and watch this message again. But I'm going to get right up in your grill right now. When Joshua was doing a lot of this stuff, he was 80 years old. So, I'm just saying, you don't got no excuse. You launch out in faith and you allow God to take the rest of your life and make it the best of your life. Do not, I'm just telling you, God does not have a retirement program. He's got an excellent relocation program, but He does not have a retirement program. Instead, say to God, whatever years I've got left, I want to be used by You. And you face your fears right then, and then you execute all your excuses. Take them out. Slaughter your excuses. Ephesians 3:20, I said it already, but I'm saying a different translation. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does not do it by pushing you around, but by working deep within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Church, you and I, each one of us, not just me, each one of us was designed by God to be used by Him, not for your kingdom or my kingdom, but for His kingdom. On your own, you cannot imagine what that might look like. Can't, but you're about to see some evidence of it. These folks that I told you, y'all pay no attention to these people. There's like 12 or 13 of them. They're going to sneak out through that door and they're going to do it. Yep, right there they go. These are the people, just like anybody else, who says, I'm going to surrender to God and I am going to let God stretch me. I'm going to allow Him to use me in ways that I never, ever even imagined. If you surrender to God, He's going to stretch you. He's going to stretch your imagination. And if you'll let Him, God will surprise you. Nothing, and I do mean nothing, compares to God using you to help others for His purposes in this world. It is whenever you do what I've been telling you to do today that you finally look up and you say, I finally know why God made me. And you'll say, this is good. Folks, if you're not being used by God, at best, you're just spending your life. At worst, you're literally wasting your life. But there is another choice, and that is you can invest your life. You can invest a seed of faith in God and give up control and let Him stretch your imagination and do things you never dreamed of. Like I said, we want to drive this home. We're going to use a song that we're all familiar with. The focus of this is not the song. The focus is 12 testimonies. It's powerful. I hope you'll focus right up here. But they're about to make it real. You're going to hear, or should I say rather, you're going to see 12 testimonies. These are real people who have chosen and continue to choose day after day. They have chosen to let go of doubt. They continue to choose to look for God's promises. They choose to lean on the Lord. And they choose to launch out in faith. I'm going to invite the first of the lineup to come and join me. His name is David. You make him welcome. But let's get this thing started. Thank you, David. Oh, church, I'm so glad of these people. These people represent Celebrate Recovery. But they also represent that we are a church that believes in the ability of God to recover us from the devastation of our sin. This is awesome. Please let this serve for you as testimony that God can stretch your imagination to do things you never, ever dreamed possible. I asked them to stand up here while I preach for another 30 minutes, and they said yes, okay? These people are people who once doubted what God could or would do in their life. But then they surrendered to Him and they let God stretch their imagination. And the point of it all is that God did what He promised. Just want you to see that. So I have to ask you on their behalf, and because I love you, what are you doubting that God could do or would do in your life if you just let Him? One day, when you stand before God to give an account of what you did with your life, the doubts that you have in this moment are going to look pretty sad and pretty pathetic. But you do have the ability, and this is the moment, I think, that you should trust. And I think it's the moment that you should start allowing God to stretch you and allow God to do what He wants to do in your life and through your life today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to greet you. We're going to cast off to online campus does their post thing. We'll do ours. But I'm just saying, as one big church, let's pray. Heavenly Father, do an amazing work in our lives because of your truth and because of the testimony that we've seen and heard here today. With your head bowed, your eyes closed, wherever you are, I encourage you to pray this from the core of who you are. Say, Father, I admit I often have doubts. I often have doubts about my abilities. I'm being honest, God, I have doubts about you. And I sure have doubts about your desire to use me. But tell Him, ask Him, God, please forgive me for all the excuses that I've used to cover up my lack of faith. Lord, you know that I've said I was too busy. I'm too far gone. That other people are better qualified. That all of my hurts and my habits and my hang-ups prevent me from serving you. Please forgive me. But today, I want to let go of that doubt. I want to launch out in faith. I want you to use my life. I want you to bless my life. Ask Him, Lord, help me to stay in your word. Help me to stay deeply planted in the Bible so that I can read it and study it and memorize it and understand it so that I can know you and claim the promises that you have made. But right now, in this moment, I am choosing to trust you, to use me, and I'm asking you, as sincerely as I know how, please take this little seed of faith that I have in my heart and make it grow and multiply. Lord, on behalf of that prayer and a similar prayer that I prayed in my own life, Lord, please hear our prayer. Please answer this prayer and do it to the glory of your name. And we pray this in the authority of the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.